Welcome to Tax Bites for Expats, the top tax tips you want to know as an expat. The podcast is here to help answer the common queries and concerns expats have when moving to or from Ireland. Complex taxes explained simply. We'll focus on the Irish and international tax issues to be aware of to ensure you save time, money, and stress.
Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of Tax Bites for Expats. There's often talk in the media and elsewhere about buying in Ireland, getting on the housing market. What's that look like for people when they're planning to move here? So today we are going to speak with Miriam Finn of Miriam Finn Property Consulting. She's an independent buyer's agent for the Dublin area, and she manages all aspects of a property search on behalf of both international and Irish buyers. She locates suitable properties, she arranges viewings, advises on legal requirements, and then helps with the bidding process. She has over 30 years experience in finance and property, and she works to take the stress off the shoulders of her time-poor clients and guides them through the process so that they can find their dream home. Thank you so much for joining us, Miriam. It's really nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Stephanie, and it's lovely to talk to you today.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. So before we kick off and talk about the market, you know, what people need to do, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in this space.
Yes, my career background, I started off in retail banking. And from there, I was part of brokers and mortgage businesses growing. So I worked with Permanent TSB and I worked in the broker center. Already from there, then I joined Sherry Fitzgerald Financial Services and became a mortgage broker dealing directly with clients. So that went really successfully. At that time, the broker business was, as I said, really growing in Ireland. In 2010, on the back of the financial crisis, I moved in Sherry Fitzgerald and joined Sherry Fitzgerald Residential. From there, then we were selling houses and I managed various different residential branches in Sherry Fitzgerald. So then, having spent nearly 20 years in Sherry Fitzgerald, I decided really it was time for a change and a new challenge. So I left and set up a Miriam Finn Property Consultant, and we're just about to enter our third year as a buyer's agent. And I suppose really the reason I set up as a buyer's agent is agents, estate agents, act on behalf of the vendors. So it's very hard to, you know, they're busy people. It's very hard to get somebody to help you. And people used to call me all the time, and particularly from abroad, and say, look, can you help me buy a property here in Ireland? We're finding it really frustrating. And it is difficult to do it as an estate agent when you're selling houses and being paid by the vendor. You can only sell their property or what the company is selling. So we set up really an independent and impartial service. There are very few people doing it here in Ireland. And since setting up, it's growing from strength to strength and definitely a service people are needing, particularly from abroad.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I know this is a service that perhaps buyers from the US are more familiar with. Do you find that the majority of your clients tend to be non-Irish?
It's an interesting breakdown. Like if we look back on last year, 70% of our clients last year were international and 30% were Irish. From the international, 35% of our clients are from the US and Canada. They would be very used to having people, realtors there act on behalf of the buyer and you pay the realtor to help you buy. Also then, about 10% of our clients are coming from Australia, a little bit like yourself when you returned. And it's breaking down then. We have the remaining are UK and European and Asia. And then the 30% we have here, which we're probably seeing a growing increase even on buyers who are here. And they will be people who have come back from abroad and maybe a year or two back and just they're time poor. They have, you know, very successful careers here and they want help in sourcing and taking some of the stress off their hands when buying a house. So that's actually, particularly start of this year, a lot of our clients are Irish, but they have been abroad. So the likes of consultants who have returned after a number of years being abroad, and they're quite busy people.
Yeah. And yeah, I suppose you're saving them time. What does it look like if somebody contacts you? Talk us through the process. If somebody is considering using a buying agent, what does it look like?
Yeah, generally, let's say somebody is in the US or Australia. we would have a consultation via Zoom. And just really, for me, it's to understand their needs. Everyone has a wish list. So it's really to see what they want to do, what their intention is. And it's very important to get kind of their time frame of when they're returning. There's lots of different reasons people are returning. Some people have done very successfully in their careers and are moving back, but they're moving back because of family or schools. And they generally would have a time frame in mind. We need to be back by September or whatever time it is. And buying a house here is very much different to, say, the US, where a transaction can take about 30 days. Where here, if you've bought a house, it's a very, it can take anything from 3 months to 6 months to complete a sale. And that's something, you know, we have to clearly let our clients understand and know the process. So we kind of start at the very beginning of the process and tell them the steps that are involved from the beginning, and even the hurdles that might be involved in financing that property when you're returning, taking up a new role here in Ireland. So it's putting them in touch with a mortgage broker, solicitors, to give them the legal advice. Little things like applying for your PPS number. They, you know, whether you're buying it with cash or mortgage, you must have the, you know, all of that ready when you're purchasing the property in Ireland.
So I think it's helping somebody understand what it looks like here, because obviously with clients coming from places like the US and Australia, the actual method of buying a house is different. What observations do people give you when they've been through the process as to what was unexpected for them?
When people contact us initially, they're really frustrated. They're in Australia, they're on a different time zone. They're trying to get in touch with agents via email. They're not at viewing, so they're not standing in front of the agent. So they're not being taken as seriously as somebody who's at the front doorstep at a viewing on a Saturday. So for them, it's been really frustrating. So for me, then, it's to tell them that, you know, we're going to do all that groundwork. We do very detailed videos and links with our clients. So it's not the fancy video you would see on any of the websites. It's through our eyes. So, you know, there are a lot of things people don't see, and particularly if you are in the US, you know, not everyone who's buying from are Irish. We would have clients who are looking to retire here, particularly from the US. Our clients look to retire here for different reasons. We're on the edge of Europe. They think Dublin, Ireland is really, really small. It's still a very safe place to live. And politically, they just want to leave the US for different reasons. So they don't necessarily know where they even want to go. Some of them have only been on a holiday in Ireland. So it's really trying to help them, first of all, distinguish locations, what's available, and even pricing. Because here, you know, if we price something, that's not necessarily the price that house is going to sell at. So if you're reading something on Daft and then you're really frustrated because you see it went 20% above the asking price. And sometimes there isn't defined closing dates of bidding. So it's to tell them about the process of even bidding and negotiating.
Yeah.
So it is very, very frustrating when you're abroad trying to do this on your own.
I think as well, you know, we have a very old history. You know,
yes.
We're known for, you know, having, I suppose, law and legal rules that are quite archaic. And I'm not a legal expert by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, the process of buying a property is convoluted here in my mind compared to how defined it can be in other countries. That was our experience. In terms of like helping people through the process of actually using a solicitor, do you introduce them to a solicitor as well, or is that something that they need to do themselves?
Yeah, we would introduce them to a number of solicitors, particularly solicitors who would be used to dealing with people coming from abroad, because there is, as you just said, title, investigating title. It's all very different here. And the solicitor, you know, there can be many obstacles when the solicitor gets the contract for sale. And the contract for sale is only issued when you go sale agreed. You know, it's really important they have the right solicitor. You know, at the end of the day, it's buyer beware here. So when you sign a contract, that's it. You can't go back. And title can be even, you know, whether it's title or management companies, when it's a private development or apartments. And if it's not investigated right, there could be upcoming things that, particularly in apartments, that you know, you would never be aware of. You could find yourself financially having to pay things for remedial work or whatever that needs to be done. So your solicitor really has quite a big job to do here when it comes to title or, you know, just completing the sale. I'm working with the banks as well, because the solicitor is kind of the bank as well. They would be ensuring they have to go back to the bank and ensure everything is in order before the check is drawn down as well. So it's really important to chat and know the process legally before you begin the process.
And do you then, in terms of the process and how it looks, I'm just thinking through what you've said there, which is, you know, you're kind of at the end of the process and you found your property. If I go back to the start, if somebody approaches you, you mentioned there like identifying areas, do you generally bring them a list of different properties you think would suit, or do you try and actually, you know, just identify, we think this is what you need? How does it work?
Well, it's interesting. Most people you would talk to initially have an area in mind or have a rough area in mind. It's quite interesting. To give you an example, we had a couple living in New York, and their vision was, you know, they loved to live up the mountains, have view of Dublin Bay. To them, Dublin was really, really small and, you know, it would be great. And they loved walking. As we got to know them better, and we did view properties with amazing views of Dublin Bay up the mountains. And, you know, we would nearly go into detail of showing them a video of the road down. And, you know, if we're at this moment in time, you know, the weather isn't great, but if it's a frosty time, it's difficult. We don't have the infrastructure like somebody in the US might be used to, that the roads would be cleared straight away and access is quite easy. So what looked on the map as something that they could get into the city centre really quickly wasn't the case. And we brought them over there. They came over and we brought them all around and showed them different areas. And when they saw it, they realized that, you know, this is not what we want. The husband loved walking, but she loved the idea of being close to shops and everything else. We ended up ultimately buying a property in Dublin 4, a kind of Mews-style property, where they were getting the best of both worlds, because they could get on the Dart or whatever and get up the mountains or along the sea and walk everywhere. So people's expectations of what they originally want can change. It's like anything. It's like buying a car. You know, it can change. And it's only when we talk to them, meet them and understand their needs. We don't always meet. Some people we would buy houses never see the property until we meet them and they have purchased this property. My colleague, it's two of us. My colleague, Kathy, sometimes said, I'm like a tourist guide of Dublin, going around different locations, explaining what's what, because different people have different needs. It could be they want to be close to a tennis club or sailing. It just depends what they're looking for. And if you're looking at it on a map, it all looks very small. But if you're looking at it driving through traffic, it's a different story.
It's quite different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Miriam, in terms of the type of people that you work with, I know we were talking before we started to record there about some interesting developments you've seen in terms of buyers that come to you. Tell us, you know, what you've seen in terms of the types of clients, in addition to what we've already mentioned.
Yeah, apart from the families returning or the professional couples, what we are seeing, which is a kind of unexpected market, is we're seeing a lot of people purchasing for their children, whether they're abroad or they're, let's say, outside Dublin and down the country. Due to the rental costs, people are looking at, particularly cash buyers, looking at buying apartments close to UCD, or close to various colleges, that they may have one or two children who are going to be going to college over the next couple of years. So very much so, again, from the US and Australia, that has been happening because they just can't deal with the rental and searching for that rental property. And at the end of the day, for them, it's, you know, it is a good investment. They're putting some of their cash funds into a property long term at the end of the day. Some people, they will use it later on in retirement or just as a second property in Dublin at a later date. So that's an increasing and a very unexpected market that we would have thought of.
And probably a different type of property, potentially, than maybe the couple you mentioned earlier who are retiring here.
Yeah.
You're dealing in different parts of the market. What are your observations at an overall level as to what the market is like at the moment, Miriam? Because I know people are going to be interested to hear that.
Yeah, you know, at the moment, and we're just at the beginning of February, the market in January, stock is really, really tight. It's down probably 20% on last year in January, and that was tight then. And I suppose what is causing that traditionally, and I suppose post-COVID and having been in the business for a long time, there was a seasonality to buying and selling properties. And I don't know if you remember the property settlements and auction times, they were spring and autumn. So a lot of people are holding, are planning more, I think, their time. And you're going to see some more stock possibly coming on. Patrick's Day would have very traditionally been the start of the property market of releasing stock. But it is tight for other reasons. And one of the main reasons is movement. If somebody's looking to either downsize or upsize from a property, they're also finding it very difficult to source something. So that's why it is so important now to be 100% on top of your game when you are sourcing that property and being ready.
And what does ready look like? If there's people listening to this who are planning to move and they'd like to have a chat with you, how far in advance do you like the client to make contact in an ideal scenario?
Some clients will make contact with us nearly 12 months before they begin. And it's really important to make contact when you are thinking about it. Because if it's somebody, let's say it is mortgage, you're looking to finance that property. Anyone in the mortgage business will tell you, you know, that particularly from abroad is quite challenging and it can take some time. So it's getting that independent mortgage advice from a broker, because not every bank, there's only a couple of banks that will lend to people coming home from abroad. You know, secondly, then the search process can take people we deal with. I don't think there's anyone we're not dealing with for a minimum of about 6 months. So our clients are very long-term relationships. So, the buying process from start to finish can take 12 months at this moment in time.
From deciding which one it is to actually moving in.
Yeah. And, you know, again, you might find that there are people who don't know, let's say, Dublin so well, and they may know that they're taking up a post or they've got a job somewhere. So sometimes you'll find that people, you know, we would advise people to rent in the location that maybe is most desirable for 12 months, which we will help them do, because that's another challenging part when you're abroad and looking to rent something and you're going on the various staffed and different websites. And the minute you get on them, you know, it's gone or you can't get the agent. So we would have, you know, we would deal directly with the agents and help people source property to rent while we're looking for them to buy. You know, average people, you know, people sign a lease for maybe 12 months here to rent a property.
I don't know if you agree with this. So please feel free to disagree with me if you think this is not accurate. But I think one of the observations we had when we came back was, and being Irish returning, I suppose we were at an advantage in any event, because we knew the system. But in Ireland, sometimes, and maybe more so outside of Dublin, what I often say to clients is, don't underestimate the power of actually speaking with a person versus lodging, you know, a contact us form via a website. You know, when you're looking for something that's in short supply, of course, there's brilliant processes and, you know, you've got the likes of daft.ie. Would you agree with that? That, like, I think it's essentially what you've just said, which is, you know, there's a shortage potentially, but we're able to kind of help our clients deal with that practically.
I would totally agree with that. Having been an agent for many years, the person that's talking to you is the person most foremost in your mind. And, you know, it's really important that you are also aware of what's coming up. So every day at this moment in time, I'm on to agents asking them what's coming up. And it's not that there are many off market at the moment because the market is so tight, but at least we know what's coming up and we might get in there before everyone else. If you are online and sending emails or, you know, sometimes they're not going to be answered. The flow, if you look at what comes through and on the other side, if you are an agent on, say, My Home inquiries, they're huge. They're huge, you know. And somebody is sieving through all of them and maybe missing some of them sometimes as well. So it's just to be there, and it's much easier if you're living here and it's on your doorstep. But if you're not, it's very difficult. And as I said, a lot of our clients come from referral business, and it's referral business because somebody they know, or, you know, even an agent refers to us for, because they're not in that, you know, impartial and independent buying service. And I think when we talk to our clients at the end of the process, that is probably the most important thing to them, that we were there and feet on the ground.
You're essentially able to offer, you become like the middleman. So in an ideal world, you know, I mean, something we did when we came back from Australia was I went into town, walked into the local property office, made friends with the girl on the desk. Mm. Turned out she was mutual friend of somebody who we knew, and she knew us. Yeah. So when we rang her, she knew who she was talking to. She remembered us, we'd met her. And I suppose you physically can't do that if you're not in the country. And it's even harder if you don't know why you're, you know, you don't even know where you want to live or where you want to actually end up. I would see the services you offer as invaluable in the sense of you're essentially giving that person that connection on the ground with what's actually happening. Whereas essentially, sometimes the internet is outdated. In other words, you know, a listing could be there, but there's things happening with it that the internet doesn't show and are relevant in the context of where it's actually going to end.
Yes, there. You know, if you're looking up after my home, you know, there's property on that, you know, that just hasn't been changed, but it's gone. It's saying agreed, and that's first of all frustrating. And then let's say you get to further and you get to identify a property. And you start to put in an offer. Let's say you put in an offer online. The agent will most, now I'm not saying like there could be a chance that the agent, let's say they know Stephanie and they don't know Miriam because Miriam's in Australia. They're more likely to deal with Stephanie because Stephanie has seen this property. And so she's not going to come down or come over in 6 weeks or 8 weeks time going, oh, I don't like it. I don't like the feel, you know, we do that. And sometimes people say, you have to have a feeling to buy a property. Hopefully we give the people that feeling. I think it only takes 11 seconds, by the way, when you walk in the door, if you know if you like a property or not. But, you know, to be taken seriously, you either need to see it yourself or you need someone like us to see it for you. And the other thing about it, we're professionals. We're negotiators. And agents like to deal with this because ultimately we're not going to mess them around and I'm not going to bid on 4 or 5 properties for the same client. So, you know, it's important that we, and this is any advice for people when they are planning on purchasing is, you know, be ready. And what I mean by be prepared is when you are getting to that point of putting your offer forward, you have to put your best foot forward. You have to, if you have loan approval, put it in. You have to have loan approval. If it's subject to something and subject to sale, do you know what? Really, they're not really going to entertain you at, you know, when there's other people ready to go. So, you know, put your best foot forward. And when you are putting in the offer, because, you know, lots of other people will be there. If it is a cash purchase, make sure you show the evidence of that cash. Let them know that you have a solicitor so you are ready to go and there won't be any delay. And it's important on the other side then as well for the buyer to make sure as much as they can tell, there won't be a delay on the vendor's side because a lot of property that's for sale is executor sales. And, you know, probate can take, it's quite a lengthy process. Again, that's something people aren't aware of here. So a property can go on the market subject to probate because probate can take 6 months. To come true. Yeah. So as a viewer, it's really important to, you know, also engage with the agent and find out exactly what the vendor's situation is. Are you buying a house that they're subject to finding something? Because again, that could be quite a lengthy process.
It's the question of what does the chain look like? You know, is it,
yeah,
are we all waiting for something here or are we all ready to actually do a deal and move on? That's crucial, I suppose, especially for somebody who maybe has a timeline, they need to move, they have a job, the kids start in school. Those things matter. Miriam, if people are listening to this and they're interested, I suppose, to have a chat with you or learn more about your services, tell us where they find you, you know, what your suggestions would be if they have questions and they listen to this.
Yeah, just contact me. It's miriamfinnproperty.ie. And they can contact us through our website or we're happy to have a consultation with them. You know, there is no cost to that. We'll have a chat with them, go through the process, and then we'll take it from there.
That's brilliant, yeah.
And it could be very early days. As you said, it could be a year or two before they're really going to do something. But it's good to even connect with them. We can't tell what the property market's going to be like in a year or two, but we can certainly give them, you know, the directions to go in to get started. And we're always there, you know, we're happy. We love talking. We love property. So we're happy to talk to anyone, anytime, really.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. It's been brilliant to talk with you. I think there's some really brilliant takeaways from what you've told us, and just even to get a snapshot of where things are at, particularly in the Dublin market at the moment. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Stephanie. It was lovely to talk to you today.
Thanks for listening to Tax Bites for Expats. Please do leave a rating or review wherever you listen to your podcast. And as always, remember to take professional tax advice specific to your personal circumstances before acting or refraining from action in connection with the matters dealt with in this series. The material in this podcast is intended to give general guidance only.